You are listening to BensTorah.com.
One of the most incredible statements ever made about any issue that is of major significance and chashivas concerning Torah. So listen to what the Rambam says. It's not the Rambam's own chiddush, but he's quoting Mekeres of Chazal, Yerushalmi's and other Midrashim that seem to indicate what he's saying. First we're going to analyze the Rambam and the Ravid and then get into the major difficulty of this topic. Rambam says, "Kol Sifrei HaNeviim, the Kol HaKesuvim, of all the books of the Neviim that we have with us today, and all the books of the Ksuvim, Asidin Libato L'Moisa Mashiach, when your Moisa Mashiach comes around, these books will be totally no longer used. Chutz Mimegilas Esther. The only thing left of Nach, believe it or not, is going to be Megillas Esther. Harehi Kayemes, Kechamishe Chumshe Torah. It's going to have an eternal existence on the same level as the five books of the Chumash itself of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ukehilchos Shel Torah Shebal Peh, the same Nitzios and Kiyum of the oral law, so the written law, the oral law, the only thing outside the Chumash and Shazbavu, Yerushalmi, and all the other Midrashi Halacha that's going to be in eternal existence is going to be Megillas Esther. She'einan betelem be'ela, which means eternal existence to all these three. Chamishe Chumshe Torah, Torah Shebal Peh, and number three, Megillas Esther. The Alpha P should call Zikaron Hatzaros Yibatel. Even though we were told that the Moshe Mashiach and afterwards, the remembrances and the histories of the past Tzaros of Klal Yisrael will cease to exist. Shenemar Ki Nishkechu Hatzaros Harishonos. That all the tzaras of the past, as Yeshaya says, will be forgotten. They've been basically put out of the direction of our eyes and the eyes of the Rabbi Nishalah. Yemei HaPurim Lo Yivatlu, the days of Purim will not cease to exist. Shenemar, he quotes a pasuk in Megillas Esther, V'yemei HaPurim Ha'ela Lo Yavru Mitoich HaYehudim, that the days of Purim will never cease to exist from amongst the Jews, and the Zichram Lo Yosef Mizaram, their remembrance will not ever cease to exist from amongst their progeny. So we see from the Rambam a peladika statement that all the Neviim Ksuvim, with all their Perushim and all the stuff that's been written upon them over the years, the Moshe Mashiach, we're not going to be busy learning them, reading them.
Tillim?
Even Tillim. I'm telling you. The only Sefer that's going to be left is going to be the Chamishe Chumshe Torah and Megillas Esther when it comes to Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebapeh, all of Torah Shebapeh, Shas Bavli, Yerushalmi, Midrash Halacha, etc., etc. It's a peladika statement. Think about it for a couple of minutes. It's simply astonishing. Now, the Ravid wasn't too thrilled because he knew this Maamar Chazal. So him and the rabbi have a little machlokus about this, which I just want to mention so you should realize what the other opinion is. If you look in the Hatzogus, I write it underneath. Kol Sifrei Neviim HaKesuvim Asidin LeBatel. So Amar Avraham Dava Hedyotos Huzeh. It's a nice way of saying, you know, basically, this can be the words of a gogol. It's impossible to think and contemplate that any book of Nach should literally go out of existence from the time of Mashiach and on. Shekol, he says, that any one of the Svarim she'ein, why? She'ein sefer, she'ein b'limud. There isn't anything in Nach literature that there isn't some type of Musa Haskel and Lundus. I mean, Rabbi Yisrael, when we learn the Midrashim, contain the Masechtas, Barachas alone, the Agadatas, and all the Hashkafas, where are they drawing from? They're drawing from all the Nevi'im and Ksuvim to bring Rayas to all the Chidushim, and every daf of the daf and the Yom we're learning in Barachas, from all the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And he's saying, how is it possible that so much Lumbis was learned from all these Psukim, all these years? And the Mesa Mashiach comes, and you're telling me these books will go out of existence, and we're not going to look at them, use them, learn them anymore. How can that be? She'ein sefer, she'ein b'limud. Avo kach omru. This is what Chazal meant. This is his alternative approach to the Rambam. And what is that? Afilu yivatlu shasvarim milkros for him. That even if the mitzvah of Kriya, of Nevi'im like we have today, or the mitzvah Kriya of the Megillos or other parts of the Nach that we have today, will no longer take place in Mesa Mashiach, the only thing is, what does he say? That when it comes to Megillas Esther, we will still read this as a public reading. The other Svara might no longer be read publicly, but Megillas Esther will still be read as part of our Purim celebration, even less of love. Peludic is staying now. The reason I emphasize this is because the Rambam, a couple of lines above this, said that the only Sifarim of Nach that will ever exist after Moshe Mashiach and will not be Mevutal, period, in all angles, is Megillas Esther with the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Torah Shabbat of Shazbav Yerushalmi and Midrashi Halacha. That's going to be Lenetzach Nitzachim. All of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim will be Batul. And the only one of Nach, besides Chumash, that will stay in existence will be Megillas Esther. And the Rambam is not talking about whether you read or not. The Mashmos is not even going to learn from the other Nevi'im and Ksuvim, B'Maisa Mashiach and on. Only from Megillas Esther you'll learn. And the Chumash. But all other Nevi'im and Ksuvim will go out of existence in their usage. Yeah.
The Rambam said that the Megillah will be read.
What?
She says it won't be Mevatel, it won't be Batel, but does it say it will be read like the Raiva says?
The fact of the matter is, when he compares it to Chamisha Chumshe Torah, if the Chumish is read, I assume it's not going to be like that. Whatever you do with the Chumish, do with the Megillah.
It's going to be used.
But even according to the Rambam, you have all the Torahs and they call all the Sukkim and all the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, all that to be around.
So that's the big question. And from the Rambam, it seems that we're no longer going to have Tanakh classes in Sefer Yeshaya and Malachim and Yirmiyah, Kedaymeh. If you read the Gemara and they quote the Pesukim, we have no choice. We're going to put Tanakh teachers out of business. The only thing they're going to be busy teaching, according to...
They're already out of business in the yeshiva world. All of it.
None
of the way to Mashiach.
My day of the round is...
It's base of time.
You don't have to have tires anymore.
But the fact of the matter is for the Rambam seems... That's according to the Rabbi. According to the Rambam, you know, you're going to be busy learning them as a sefer. You might learn to have a pasuk here and there that the Gemara throws in for its limud, but it's just the statement is astounding. The statement is astounding, and what's more astounding is a couple more questions. Why does it have to be that way? Think you're not going to have historia classes? of the old histories of Klal Yisrael, because they're not going to be as magnificent and as grandiose and as incredibly miraculous, as Chazal say, is going to be the miracles of Yemos HaMashiach, even greater than the miracles of Pesach. We had that in Masechtas Brachos in the beginning.
Okay.
All right. So we all, you know, we're not going to have history books and whatever it is recalling the miracles of the past, because the miracles of that time will supersede the most. I understand that. But why do you have to put the Nevi'im K'suvim into total bittul? According to the Rambam, what as I schlecht? I mean, what? I know it's even more interesting to me, and I always find this fascinating. The only sefer of Nach that doesn't have God's name mentioned explicitly
is
Gilas Esther. So, of all the sefrei Nach, the one sefer that doesn't have Hashem's name mentioned will stay Netzach Netzachim. And all the other Nevi'im Muksuvim that are Mala is Shemus Hashem, Yivatlu. I mean, it's a Pelopoloyan concept. So I thought about this for many, many years, every time I read this Rambam, and I think I came up with an answer. I'll share with you tonight, and you'll see very shortly what the power and uniqueness of Megillas Esther is. And I think you'll understand very shortly what the Rama meant and what Chazal meant in this very, very phenomenal Maimer Chazal. To really understand what this really deals with, we're going to go back to a Gemara that I've told you over the years many, many times. But at this point in time, I'm going to point out something in this Gemara and try to highlight it for you and put it into perspective. The fact of the matter is, on this part of the Gemara, right over here, this is on page number 6, it says, 6. It says page 6, it's not page 6. Okay? So it says on the bottom, the famous, famous, famous Gemara of the stira that you have in Sefer Yeshaya, the pasuk of Be'ita Achishena, where Hashem says the gula is going to take place Be'ita at the proper time. It's going to be Bachishena, it's going to be even earlier than the prescribed time. So the Gemara says, either it's going to be at the proper time or earlier. How do you say it's going to be both? So the Gemara says, it depends upon the spiritual status of the Jewish people at the Tekufa of Yemos HaMashiach. If Klal Yisrael are Zocheh, are spiritually worthy, the majority of the Jews are spiritually Shemitev of the Mitzvahs, then Achishana, I will speed up the Gula, and it'll take place earlier than the prescribed time.
Lo
zachu. The majority of the Jews have assimilated and acculturated. The minority are still shomer of the mitzvahs. It's going to take place at a time that I prescribe. Why? Because I promised in my divrei nevi'im over the years that there's going to be a gula b'self. I guaranteed it. And when Hashem makes a promise on that level, Hashem never is chozer when it comes to good besuros, tovos of the future. Chazal, and the Rambam quotes this, and it's Hagdamah to Perush Mishnayos, negative nevuos, Hashem has no problem of being mevatel. Positive nevuos, Hashem can never ever mevatel. That's the So if that's the case, since Gulas Klais is a positive nevuah, it has to take place. And what's interesting in Sefer Yecheskel and Perak Lamed Vav Lamed Zayin, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam makes a peledika statement. He explains why, if we're not spiritually worthy, that he's going to redeem us under all circumstances. And what he says is very, very interesting. Once I made a promise to redeem my Jewish people at the end of time, by a certain point in time, I have to do it, because if I don't do it, it will be a chilul shem shemayim. It will show you that Hashem makes promises and doesn't keep them. Some people will say Hashem lied, and that can't be. So the Torah uses the pasuk, the Tanakh uses the pasuk in Cheskel, lama'ani e'eseh. For the sake of my kiddush shem shemayim, my name should be sanctified, and my word should be held as emes, le'olam. I will, for my own sake, redeem you, even though for your sake you're not worthy yet. But lamani, for the sake of kiddush shem shemayim, I must redeem you. So that's the pshat of lo zachu. I got to do it because I made a promise for the good, and the promise of the good is never mevutal. When it comes to the Nevi'us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a clog on it. So Sefer Yeshayahu, Sefer Yecheskel, it's very explicit. Now, that's number one. Number two, the Gemara says, there are two psukim that seem to also describe the backdrop of the events of these beloved. If Klal Yisrael Azokher, they describe the Gula Orum Anone Shemaya Kabainish Osa. Daniel is the sefer that's quoted. Like a human being flying in the air, there'll be miracles. Shaleba Derech Ateva. Klai Yisrael Azokha for the Gula Atida. Supernatural miracles will take place. But it also says, Oni Rochav Alachamar. The Mashiach will come as a poor man, Nebuch, riding on a donkey. Once again, the Gemara says that will only happen if Klal Yisrael are not Zoche. Which means the Gula will be B'derech HaTeva, slow and bumpy. There'll be ups and there'll be downs. There'll be successes and be failures until the ultimate redemption is completed. So what the Gemara tells us, and the Gadol I'm quoting right now was one of the Gadolei HaAchreinim, who had an incredible reputation. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he's one of the few of the Mefarshi HaChumash that's called HaKadosh. There are a lot of Mefarshim, we don't call them the Ramban HaKadosh, we don't call the Ibn Ezra HaKadosh, we don't call the Kliyak HaKadosh, but the HaChaim, he's a Makubo, one of the Tzadiki Hadar. Rachaim HaKadosh says, in Pasha's Balak, where the ending Nevuos are the final Pachim Ponim that he gives to Balak and the heads of Moav and the heads of Midian, telling them that I can't curse the Jews, I can't curse a people that God has blessed, and that God does not want to curse. And he also reveals that at the end of days, Klal Yisrael will undergo a final redemption and literally get rid of all the nations that tormented them over all the years. Just read the Pesukim in Pashas Balak towards the end, how one by one he knocks off this nation and that nation and this nation and that nation. Amalek, Kedemer, all of them are mentioned one way or another. Hashem will get rid of them. So the fact of the matter is, in that piece of the Rechaim HaKadosh in Balak, in the Nevuos Bilam, he says, referring to this Gemara, that there are, in Klal Yisrael's historical record, the Ribono Shel Olam set in place from the very beginning, two potential gulos that can take place. A gula shel zachu, a gula shel lo zachu. It's built into the program. And whether it will be zachu to one or will depend on whether it was zachu below zachu. And then they point out that in Jewish history, there are two paradigms of what is the gula shel zachu and gula shel lo zachu. The paradigm of the gula shel zachu is Yetzias Mitzrayim with all the miracles that took place. There weren't just as the makos, because by the time you finish reading the Haggadah the night of Pesach, the 10 becomes hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds. It's an amazing phenomenon. between that and what happened in Kriyas Yamsuf. You know, dealing with an etzba, then going to a yad. Yeah. And then you add into the picture of Rabbi Yisrael the Ness of the Mon for 40 years. And the Ness of the Anania Kavit. And the Ness of the Be'er Mayim. I mean, when you add up all the miracles that took place for Rabbi Yisrael, that was Shalai B'Derech HaTeva, they lived in a matzif of Shalai B'Derech HaTeva for over 40 years. Shalai B'Derech HaTeva. The Gula was Shalai B'Derech from the very inception. The second Gula of Klal Yisrael that is of major importance is Gulas Purim, because Gulas Purim from the Persian Empire was the entree to the second building of the Beis HaMikdash, to the second Jewish Commonwealth, to be a Shniyat of Klal Yisrael, and that was the other major Gula in Jewish history. But that Gula was not miraculous with open miracles. The Rabbanim behind the scenes helped pull the strings of Achashverosh and other courtiers and cause events to take place. The Mordechai was in the right place in the right
timing.
And he was able to report to the king the whole episode of them trying to kill him, which was then recorded in the Sifrei Zichronos. When you read the Sefer from beginning to end, all these accidental phenomenon are no longer accidental, that you see the Yad Hashem behind the scenes in retrospect, setting the stage, the killing of Vashti, the appointment of Esther Hamalka, Mordechai would obviously becoming an important member of the court. You see continuous, what we call Nisam Nistarim in the text, but only in retrospect. Hashem's name is not mentioned once because everything was done behest upon him. So we see, therefore, that if you want to have a paradigm example of a geula that is unfortunately lozachu, that's bederech hateva, Purim is the paradigm example. And the Arach Haimakadah says that the geula asida can either be like a geula as Mitzrayim, Nisem Shulei B'Derech HaTeva Im Zachu, and applies on not Zachu B'Sof HaYamim, it will be a Geula B'Derech HaTeva like Purim. And he adds one other expression. A Geula Shezachu is Anivul Malach. Hashem does all the Nisem himself without the usage of any intermediaries. Anivul Malach, Anivul Sof. A Geula B'Derech HaTeva, we need Rishion HaMalchus, is the term that's used. We need to elicit the help of the Gaisha kings and rulers of that time to use their political clout and geopolitical control of the real estate of the Middle East and their abilities with their powers of military might, for them to use their clout and use their money and their resources to help the Jews legitimize our return to Eretz Israel, give us the finances we need to build the Beis HaMikdash, and the political clout to prevent our adversaries, our enemies, from preventing us from doing such. So that's called Rishian HaMalchus. That's a Gula Shalazachu. And that is what's represented by the Purim. So therefore, built into the system from the very beginning were various two types of geula that could take place with Klal Yisrael. If it was Zocha throughout the generations, it will be Biderech Nes Nigla. And if it's a Lo Zochu, it will be Derech Nes Nistar. And when it comes to geula Asida, we'll see what Klal Yisrael's Matziv is at that time in order to see which one's going to apply. But this is built into the system. This is a crucial factor. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, in the Torah world, the Yeshivish world, they don't even talk about a Gula Shel Zachu. Some Gedolim did not want to countenance a Gula Shel Zachu when it came to the events of our historical period of time.
You are listening to BenStorer.com.
And the fact of the matter is, when you think about for a couple of minutes how Klal Yisrael returned to Eretz Israel in this third Tekufa. We're not talking about now Yeshua's return. Yeshua's return was B'derech Zachu, Nisim Shel B'derech Teva, the miracles of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, which is B'derech Teva. The blowing of shofar and you're circling the city with the Aron HaKodesh and the walls collapse. You have, in this Gemara, we had a couple of days ago in the Daf Yomi, you had divine missiles coming down in Hashemayim, the Mesilas, the stars were aiding us, heating up the equipment of the army of Sisera. They took a nice little bath in the cold waters and the Yam came and swept them away. The currents took over. There were missiles coming down from all over to literally kill the adversary when they were going down the side of the mountain. You read the Gemaras. I mean, all these Gemaras we just had in the last couple of days. So you see the miraculous nature of Kibush Eretz Yisrael at the time of Yeshua. When it comes to the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, they had a lot of problems. The natives living there were as impossible as the natives living there in our Tekufa at this point in time. Most Jews in the world didn't even want to cooperate to return. Most of the Jews of Persia and Babylon stayed. Helulik. When they asked the Jews of Germany, who at the Chum Bayis Rishon, who went to the Rhine to return and help them build Bayis Sheni, they told them, since Langer's not in Stark, we're happy in the Rhine over here. We like the German territory. We got our land. This is our place. This is our makom. So it was not an exciting period of time. So what's interesting is historically, when you look at the events of Hakamas HaMedina, but you go back to the period before Hakamas HaMedina. I'm going back now to the 1100s, the 1200s, when the Radak and the Ramban lived. So in two respective works that each one wrote, the Radak, his parish and Sefer Tehillim, the Ramban and his parish, the Sefer Shir HaShirim, each one independently said that the Gula Asida, which means the third Gula, will be Berishion HaMalchus, which meant to say, Veilu Misnabe, Beruch HaKodesh, B'Gula Shalazach. And in their day, there was no way of any Rishi and of any multiple Malchias giving anything back to us, because every other guy hated each other. There was so much fights in the world for territorial control. There was no united nations giving them a common voice. So they're talking about the future, skipping 400 or 500 years to the time of the Vilna Gaon. The Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon asked him, Rebbe, how was the Gula going to take place when they were still in Europe? And the Vilna Gaon writes in a treatise that later on becomes called the Kol Hatar. That's going to be a Gula Shalozachu. And I see it happening right now. And the Simonim of that Gula already are taking place. Therefore, pick yourselves up from European continent, make your way to Eretz Israel, start physically building the Yishuv. It's a B'derech HaTeva type of Gula. We got to redeem the land, we got to fix the land, we got to plant the land, make the yeshivas, make the shuls, spread religion to Eretz Israel, but we have to do it. We have to do it B'derech HaTeva. He told his Hasidim to do it. The Baal Shem Tov all of a sudden told his Talmidim to do it. So you have the vacating of Europe of the greatest Litvisha and Hasidish Talmidim coming to establish Eretz Israel. The fact of the matter is, the Yorshim of the Gaon, you have later on the Rav Nefesh HaChaim, and later on you have all the Gedolim who established the Yeshiva Volozhin, from the Volozhin the legacy. As you come towards the end of that legacy, you come along a personage like the Netziv. The Netziv said, the Gula that's taking place now is the Gula Shelo Zachu. The Gaon was right. Look at the Tsar of Russia over here. He was anti-Semitic on the face of this earth, as they always were. He didn't say that, but that's what he meant. And look, this wonderful Tsar of Russia, is allowing us publicly to collect monies for the land of Israel to rebuild it, and they support this endeavor, and how wonderful they are. You know, he used the Hanifis, one of the highest levels, in order to send a message of appreciation, HaKar HaSatayif. And he said, all the Gedolim have to be behind this. More poignantly, when you came to the Tekufa of the 1900s, where there you had Rishyon HaMalchios being actively solicited. The Balfour Declaration was actively solicited. The King of England didn't wake up one night and say, I want to give the land back to the Jews. When you read the history of the Balfour Declaration, the secular and the religious Jews of that time went out of the way behind the people's eyes to lobby and lobby and lobby for England, who was in geopolitical control of Palestine, to make a Jewish homeland for the Jews. It wasn't only the secular Jews, as people want to talk about, but in Agudi's history text, which I have copies of at home, they talk about the fact that they went out of the way to also lobby for the Gaiish of Elt to acquiesce to give it back to us. I want to show you a little gem I got. This book is one of two history books that was printed by Joseph Friedenstein of the History of Aguda. The other one's a little thicker than this. And when I used to read Beryl Wine, he always documents on the bottom where he takes the stuff from. So when it comes to Tekuf HaKamas of Medina, he quotes his book. So I wanted to get a hold of the books. I called up Agudas Yisrael. I said to their department, open our books, do you happen to have some of these copies around? I'd like to buy them for you. Oh no, we don't have any extra copies of that. We have the originals. Nothing has ever been reprinted. Sorry, we can't help you. But that didn't stop me. I went then to the only other source I know possible.
Amazon.com.
And within 2 days, I had this and the other book at my fingertips. It's an amazing phenomenon. You think they made Amazon, you know, to make that guy rich? You know, they made it that we could be able to get all this rare sperm that nobody else ever has anymore. But the fact of the matter is, when you read this inside, you can't imagine the amount of Kayach that Agudas Yisrael advocates put in to try to convince the Goyim to give us back the land at that time. They felt that was the answer to anti-Semitism, and to return to Eretz Yisrael, and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, building their base HaMikdash. So the Balfour Declaration, when that was ultimately came into existence, that was the precursor that later on when the League of Nations was established, the mandate of Palestine to return the Jewish homeland of that body was based upon the Balfour Declaration. And that's the route of history. Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk was one of the great Litvusha Gedolim in Europe, one of the greatest Litvusha Gedolim, Bar Sameach. He writes, it is Baruch Echama now that this is a Gula Shlo Zachu, because you see now, Rishion HaMalchus. The League of Nations, he called it the League of Smart Nations. He gave it an adjective. That they're now coming together, and they're now basically declaring that the land of Eretz Israel is going to be returned to the Jewish people. It's a Rishi and Hamalchus, started with Britain. Now it's being carried on by the nations of the world. Later on you have the Gobel, who was the head of the Hasidic world at that time, the Avnei Nezer, who was not only one of the great Hasidic Rebbes, but as a Lamdin, his Lamdonis was respected not only in the Hasidic world, but in the Litvish world. I can tell you many Rosh Hashivas still to this day use the Avnei Nezer as a major Lamdish to say the Rav Soloveitchik used to quote the Avnei Nezer because of his sharpness and his Lamdis. He told his Hasidim, Zagula Shlo Zachu, pick yourselves up and go back to Eretz Israel. When the Chafetz Chaim was asked, he says, this is Zagula Shlo Zachu, and that's when he coined his expression, this is now the Ikfas of the Mashiach. That's when that expression came into existence. We're now in our pathway going back to Israel with Rishi and Hamalchus. When they asked the Ostrav Serebo and the great Sadiqim in Europe what his opinion was, he says, it's a Tafa Pasha based upon the Medrash. This is a Rishi and Hamalchus. Why? So he quotes the Medrash, I've quoted many times over here, where the Medrash says, why is Malchus Edom Nidma to a Chazir, when it comes to the animal it's compared to in Tanakh? Shemachzirin Atara Labala, they're one day going to bring the crown back to its owner. What does the Mashal mean? He says, the Mashal is, look what's happening now. What is the religious background of Britain and most of these nations? They're Christians. They are the Yerushim of the Edomite Empire, because the Roman Empire became the Roman Christian Empire. One of their ultimate leaders decided to convert to Christianity. The Roman Empire initially tortured the Christians, ironically, became now the bastion and supporters of the Christian religion, Roman Catholic religion, that's why it's called Roman Catholicism. And that's what really was the infrastructure of most of Europe at that point in time. So the fact of the matter is, the Ostrov Zareb says, that Malchus Edom, who now see with the Notzrim, who are the Yerushim, are taking the land away from the robbing barons, the Arabs who robbed it from us, and from the Jews in their absence from the land. We're righting a wrong. They're taking it back from the Arab world, returning it back to the Jews. Machzirin atara labayla. So you see, the Medrash already foresaw that. So what are you going to spoil about? This is a gulah shel zachar, Rishi and Hamalchus. Rachmanos on World War II came around, and after World War II, the miraculous phenomenon that despite World War II, we had a United Nations that voted.
Maybe because of World War
II. It could be. You know, there are different svaras of why all of a sudden some wonderful nations decided to basically change their mahalach, Russia in particular, supported very strongly Hakamas HaMedina. They say that at that time,
communist.
Yeah, exactly. The great leader of Russia was Stalin. And he was hoping that since Israel is going to be a socialist communist country, they're going to have a satellite. So of course we want to support it. He was more hot to trot in Israel being hukam than Truman in America was.
Absolutely.
And in fact, Truman, after America had voted, after his Jewish business partner had convinced him that's the right way to go, and the State Department, that was always Arabist oriented, said to him, the Arabs are going to now take away the oil and the money from us. We're going to be punished by them. I told you not to do this. And now for Peking, he did it. And look what's going to happen to us now. Truman wanted to back out. He wanted to send a shliach to the Security Council to say we're backing out of our vote and we should just put it in abeyance now. When basically Stalin heard that, he called Gromyko. You know, who slammed his shoe on the desk. And he told Gromyko, you're going to go to the Security Council and make sure that America cannot back out and prevent it from happening. And that's exactly what happened. So here he is. The vote of the UN was secured by Russia and Stalin rather than American Truman. People don't know this, but I saw the newsreels. Yeah. You have to see it in the newsreels of antiquity to see, because I really show you the stuff that's going on without people playing with the pictures. And you see, it's an amazing thing to witness. Leiv Melachim B'yad Hashem. So it's a Gula Shel Zachar. And that's what it is to this very day. Today we have Trump, thank God. He's the new person on the stage, making sure that the Rishi and Hamalchus continue. So everybody just remember, when you're voting, you know which lever to pull. Biden ain't the answer, and Sanders is surely not the answer. The only answer is the one who is pointed, who thinks he's anointed by God to do what he's doing. All right, but I'm going to let you go. But let me, besides the politics, let's get back to the Torah here. So the Torah here is the following. The fact of the matter, going back to my initial question, why is Megillas Esther so important? Because all the other Nevi'im and Ksuvim, except Megillas Esther, are merely elaborations of the theme of the Chamisha Kamsha Torah, and all of the Torah is one big theme. Nisim, Nigloyim, Avashchok, Pratis of Hashem from beginning to end. Oh, Chumash. Nisim, Nigloyim. Nisim, Nigloyim. You see, Ashkachas Hashem, from Briat Olam to the end of Mises Vayishir Rabbeinu. The Vayim HaKsuvim, to have to repeat that theme and give us examples of it and demonstrate it, once you have what you have in the Chumash, it's not really necessary. In fact, as the Medrash Chazal says, Ilamolo Lachot Yisrael, if Christ would not have sinned by Bais Rishon, we would have been given only Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Sefer Yeshua B'Vah, because that's a book of real estate apportionment. We wouldn't have needed the Nevi'im Ksuvim. The only reason we're given Nevi'im Ksuvim is because we didn't listen to Hashem's Tzivuyim about getting rid of the Goyim who were in Eretz Israel, and therefore, as a result of that, the Churban HaBayis Rishon and Sheni took place ultimately. So the fact of the matter is, for us, the Wabba B'Mosha Mashiach, we don't need other Svarim to remind us of our mandate to Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So the Torah itself will be sufficient to talk about Nisim Negoyim. The only Sefer that will have a place is Megillas Esther, because it's the only Sefer Tanakh that describes Hashem in Nisim Nistarim. When it comes to Hashem's divine supervision in the context of working behind the scenes. Hashem's name is not mentioned in the entire Sefer. Megillas Esther Menayim, Hast Esther Sponim. The Hester Ponim Chlala is the source of the reason Megillas Esther is Merumiz in the Torah. Even Esther's name, Chazal say, Esther is from Hester Ponim. So the book of Tanakh that deals on a theme and a concept that is not played out or demonstrated in any other part of Tanakh is Megillas Esther. The concept of Rishon HaMalchus, Gula Shel HaZachu. So therefore, the Asa Lava of the Mesa Mashiach and onwards, we're not going to have the problems we have today, and the world's going to go into a state of total spiritual perfection. The two major Sifrei Tanakh that will describe Hashem's Hashkach in this world, the Galui Behester, is the Chamisha from Sheitera. It will render all the other Nitzum unnecessary. And Behester Ponim, the Sefer that will remind us of that type of Hashkach HaPratis, is Megillas Esther. So therefore, when it comes to learning and understanding and comprehending it, that's one of the reasons Esther's Megillah has such significance to the level the Rambam mentions it. That's number one. Number two, the Gemara says, one of the major parts of Megillas Esther, besides what I just mentioned to you, is Kimu Asher Kiblu Kavar. They had once again the reacceptance of Torah, and Chazal say the way they accepted at the time of Esther and Mordechai was a reaffirmation and a re-understanding of Klaus will accept it when it came to Kabbalah's Torah at Har Sinai. Many had tainis, the Maral says, that how could Klaus not accept the Torah at Har Sinai? Say, Nasa and Ishmael, they saw Hashem Panim upon them, Hashem spoke to them on a Derech Nevuah of Levi Moshe Rabbeinu. How could they refuse? The Bechira was compromised with such Gila upon them. Chazal say later on, the time of Esther Malka, which was the period of Esther Panim on its ultimate, Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael had a reawakening spiritually, right, and desire to what to Makaba once again, Kol HaTorah Kula, Torah Shel Bal Peh. So this showed you that if it has to upon him, they're willing to do it. Don't say that when they were Makaba and Har Sinai, it was done because they were coerced because of Gila upon him. Kafon HaGigigas, don't say they were forced. If it has to upon him, they're willing to accept it. So in Gila Panim, they wouldn't be willing to accept it. So don't attribute it just extraneous factors, because now by Esther, they don't have those extraneous factors. And I'll put PK, then Makabah. So therefore, the whole concept of our acceptance of Torah, Shel Bal Peh, all its mandates, will reaffirm when it comes to Klal Yisrael's Kavanas and the Darga with the events that took place in the Lord's Esther. The concepts that Klal Yisrael could only exist if there's Achdus amongst the Jews is emphasized by Megillas Esther, where she told them, Kenes Kolah Yehudim. We can't be a mafuz mafore bein amin. We can't be a separated people. We gotta be have an achdus. Kedish echa b'leiv echa. We have by Bar Nahar Sinai. The concept of the power of tshuva is emphasized by this Megillah. At the end, there was a gzeret because of why the Shimon Yochai and his Talmid had a whole discussion. Why was it a command to commit genocide against every Jew and Jewess? Child, Mishtachu Letzelem, they bow down to idols. Number two, they had Hanof from the Suda of Achashverosh, that was a Suda celebrating the destruction of the temple and the fact that Gula will never take place and the Binyan is never going to take place. And the Binyan lied to you, the time's come, the time's gone. You read Masechtas Megillah, you realize that Achashverosh misconceived the time frame and thought the Gula had already come and we weren't redeemed. That's why Bedavka, Kalim and Kalim has shown he gave them to drink at the Suda with Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. And the begun that he wore with Big Day Kain Gadol to show that I'm the Kain Gadol. And the actual Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash is going to be used to celebrate in my empire. And the Jews enjoyed the Suda. Shenenimo is the Suda. So to show you that the Rebbeinu Shalom does not want a Klal Yisrael that has an antipathy and a lack of desire to want to return to Eretz Yisrael. Avos Eretz Yisrael is basically emphasized in this specific Megillah, showing how far Hashem is willing to go to give us a wake-up call. All the major yisodos of Avat Hashem and Avat HaTorah and Avos Yisrael and Avos Eretz Yisrael, all of those themes ultimately come out and pour out of this Megillah. So for that reason, Chazal say, the hashkafas you find in Megillah Esther and the confirmations you find there are unique. We don't need the other Nevi'im Ksuvim, which are really repetitive of themes that Mefurish already in the Chumash, to have to be read or learned or analyzed anymore, because so they'll see it from the Chumash directly. Megillah Esther, because of what its narrative talks about, is unique and distinct. That's why the Rambam says we're going to continue to learn it and read it publicly and emphasize, because at the end of days, the Rabban Hashem still gave us two possible gulos. And if we were not zeich for gula shezachu, we'll be zeich for gula shelo zachu, and that's what we're experiencing today at gula shelo zachu. Therefore, Rabbi Yisai, that's the uniqueness, that's the distinctiveness of Megillas Esther, incredible Megillah. And Chazal point out, if you need a chizuk of emuna, when you see everything going wrong all around you, Megillas Esther is the sefer to look into. During the Holocaust, that was a very popular sefer, because everybody had lost hope in everything. And they looked at the Megillah and said, there's still hope. Look what they were facing, same thing we're facing. The Germans are the same, Yimach Shmo Amalekim, that they faced in their specific time. So Rabbi Yisrael, do not give up. Al tisya'esh. Realize that we have to go forward and do what we have to do b'derech hateva for the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael to build the land in Kanan Hari. We see how it's growing in Eichus and Kamas, the amount of Torah being learned there, the amount of technology and science and medicine that's being produced in Eretz Yisrael. It's a Kiddush Hashem. It's a Medina that literally is Mekadosh Hashem when it comes to Avos HaBriyos. The first country in the world that ever ends is when countries around the world have tzaris. The first rescue teams always come from Eretz Israel. The news doesn't report it, but the first rescue teams come from the Jews of Eretz Israel. Even to enemies, even when Iran had that major earthquake 2 years ago, Israel offered to come. But because of the pride and hatred of Iran, they'd rather people die than get aid from Israel to help. Rabbi Yisrael, we're living in historical times. The Sopa Prayer Mitzvah Hashem will be Zocha for this Mashiach Tzedkenu, as the Haftachas are, L'mani Yeser, to be a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and Kiddush of Klal Yisrael, to Mashiach Tzedkenu, Amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of Ben's Torah, www.amazon.com.